For several weeks, we've been studying about God's love to us and in different ways, in different, the different manifestations of His love and how much He loved us when He before the beginning, when He designed us and when He made us, He loved us. That's why He made us. And He has been endeavoring to love us ever since. The Lord has poured out Himself to that. And this morning, on my part, it's coincidence for the day, but the Lord is the one that gives. And I feel like the Lord gave me some things to share with you about love this morning. And, you know, God loved us and we know that. And I hope most of us have it fully revealed to our hearts, because it's a life-changing thing when we realize how much God cares about you and me. It's life-changing. It's something you can put your life into then. And we talked about that some last week. But this morning, I'm thinking about how that God wants to put His love in us. He wants to put His love in us, and He wants us to have that kind of love. And the Lord wants our lives to be an extension of what God Himself is. The scripture says God is love. And so I believe He would like our life to be a shining, pure example as an extension of what God is. That people in this world that don't know God will know God by our lives. And we'll know something about who He is. And I hope our spouse, our wife, our husband, our children, I hope they can grasp the concept of God's love by the very way they see it manifested in our lives this morning. And so I just want to look at a number of scriptures I feel like the Lord gave me. We've been on this subject for a while, but I don't think we're going to be able to exhaust it. So we'll do the best we can. But 1 John 4:16-17, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Do you know that God puts a lot of emphasis on love? Because if our heart is filled with His love, I will tell you, it's filled with God. If our heart is filled in that way, it's filled with God. And that's what He wants. That's what the Lord, even we'll read this scripture after a while, Lord willing, but He says that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Now, how come it's such a great subject? How come it shouldn't seem, why is it so deep? It's such a simple concept in a way, but it's so needing and so lacking in our world today. I just want us to think this morning what the scripture has said. Herein is our love made perfect. It says, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know, this morning I want to look and examine through this time a little bit about what love is, what true love is, and what real love is, and what it isn't sometimes. Ephesians 2:4, we'll work through a lot of scriptures here, I suppose. But it says here in Ephesians 2, in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." You know, it takes a lot of mercy sometimes to love. I want us to get this concept in our hearts, if we can this morning. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, God wants to put that in us too. For his great mercy, he loved us. Because he loved us, because he had mercy on us, he loved us. You know, if the Lord would have held us, he could have never loved us. If he would have held us at arm's length and said, I'm not giving anything for them. Let them come to me. He could have done that, couldn't he? But you know, this is the God that we serve. For his great mercy, he loved us. And he saw us. He saw our need. He saw our transgressions. He saw what we had done. And he knew all about it. And he knew our thoughts and everything. And for his great mercy, he loved us. And you know, he wants to put that in us today. He wants you and me, for the great mercies of God that he puts in our heart, to love one another. He wants us to have a heart that's full of love. He wants us to have a heart that sees nobody that we don't have love for. I believe that this morning. Is there anyone that we cannot have love for and be one of God's? I believe the standard is that we love everyone. And I believe he even wants it to go beyond that. He wants it to become a love of intensity, the kind of love that he had. That he had such mercy on us that he gave his life for us when we did not deserve it in the least. We were transgressors. We had been in his face, some of us. We had done things we knew was against God. And yet, God, in his great mercy, he loved us this morning. Oh, Lord, teach us what love is today. And teach us how to love one another. How to give ourselves for people when they don't deserve it at all. Not only don't deserve it, but when they've done everything to stop that, in fact. Do you know we can keep loving? That's what God has done. He has loved us, and he wants us to love this morning. Now, you know, I think about several verses. I'll just quote Romans 5 and 5. But it says, hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Do you know that the Lord wants to shed abroad his love in our hearts? Now when you do something abroad, it's more than just landing it somewhere. Something is given out, or when the snow comes and it snows in a little area, you know, that's that little area. But when it's abroad, it's all over. Do you know this morning how much the Lord wants to put his kind of love in our hearts today? The kind that it changes things, folks. This kind of love matters. This kind of love changes relationships. It changes people's hearts toward the Lord when they see his people with that kind of love this morning. And I just want to challenge us and challenge myself too. Lord, I want to have this kind of love to all men. I want my life to be able to be something that causes people to see you and to want you and to recognize if that's what God can do in a life, you know, I think that's something to think about this morning. And so we want people to think that way, don't we? The Lord's love has caused us to have feelings of love to God, hasn't it? Has the Lord ever touched your life with love this morning? Can anybody here say, I know the Lord, I know he did something for me? I remember Brother Duane used to tell me, a lot of times he told me about when he was young and how the Lord had touched one of his animals, I think a dog or something, when he was in trouble. And he wanted some help there. And the Lord, he said, he knew it was the Lord. And you know, different ones, different times the Lord has touched you, has he not? Different times he saved you, maybe from yourself, maybe from Satan, maybe from a car wreck. And you knew. I thank God for that. I really believe that would have happened if God hadn't have stepped in there for me. You know, how many times has he done that? Does that not make us have feelings back to him. It does to me. When I look back, I can see the many, many times that God has loved me and had mercy on me and helped me and through so many things. And doesn't it make us want to love him back? Folks, that love, God wants to work through us to other people too. He wants them to know his love through you and I's lives today. And so I want to think a little bit about love. Love is often misunderstood. And I believe that this morning. Often people misunderstand what love is. When some person is swept away with romantic feelings and they're so blurry-eyed they can't think straight, does that mean it's love? It might be love, might be the result of love, and it might not be. It might not be love at all. I want us to think this morning about what love is and the characteristics. Love has characteristics that you can look at to see, is it love or what is it? You know, there's other things it can be. I'll look at that in a few minutes. I want to look at Romans 5 and 6 to 8 and look here at what the apostle tells us, Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a contrast there. What a contrast of ideas. You know, scarcely, maybe for a good man, someone might die sometimes. Maybe on the battlefield, someone may throw themselves upon a grenade to keep their others from dying. But God commended his love to us when we were yet sinners. That's a whole different kind of love, isn't it? We were transgressors against him. We were not his best friends. We were doing things unlawful, unrighteous, and the Lord knew that. And God commended his love to us through Christ. The scripture also says, greater love, this is John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now what kind of love is this? That a man would lay down his life for his friends. And Christ said there isn't any greater love than that. Than that a man would lay his life down for his friend. That's the top where somebody would give their life for another. You know, this morning, that's sacrificial love today. That's the kind that has your interest at heart. It cares about you more than it cares about itself. That's what Christ did when he came here and gave himself. It's when you really want to benefit someone else. Now, I'm talking about real love this morning. The very nature of love gives. It gives something to another. It sacrifices for another. It puts aside its wishes for another. Now, I'm thinking this morning, folks, this ought to be at its best in our home. I know that's where it's most challenged, too. But do you know that God wants to teach us there? We can live it anywhere if we can live it at home. Let's learn these concepts this morning. Let's learn how to have a sacrificial love. How to have a love that puts aside our wishes for another. How to have a love that would die for another. How to have a love that says, I will stand where I need to stand here. Whatever it costs me in this life or whatever, I will stand where I need to stand. I'm gonna do everything I can to save our families. I hope we all feel that way. I'll do everything I can to save my marriage and make it something that is more than just putting up with. This kind of love draws love in response. This kind of love makes things to where it can be exciting. You know, and God modeled this for us when he gave his son. But I want to think about a false love this morning. You know, a false love has a different motive. A false love isn't out for your benefit. It's out for the benefit of the one that's given it. It's called lust. That's a false love. It's out to get. It's not out to give. It's out to get. You know, this morning, there's characteristics of true love. There's characteristics of false love. There's characteristics of abuse. Some people call abuse love. They do. Some people have that twisted, warped idea of love in their mind. God came along and he's helping us, trying to help us to understand what true love is. What the kind of love is that builds good, healthy, enduring, strong people and relationships. The Lord wants to give us those kinds of things, doesn't he? But this morning, we've got to be willing and able to allow God's love to be put in our heart. Don't allow the love of the world. That's not God's love. It's not a love that endures. It's not a love that blesses people. It's a selfish love, isn't it? It's a love that's given to appetite and those kind of things. This morning, I just want to challenge each one of us to get a good concept in our minds and hearts about what true love is. The kind of love that God had for us, that he'd die for us. That's a sacrificial love. That's something when you see it. When you see it, it's very different than a lustful kind of false love this morning. I know I'm speaking a little bit plain. Forgive me for that. I feel like, you know, a false love comes along and it's after something. That's what it's after. It's after something. Sometimes I've been on the job and sometimes I've had people begin to flatter me and say things as if they really respected and you know, and then it's so disgusting when you see that they really wanted you to give them another bookcase or something like that. That's disgusting, isn't it? It's a false way of dealing with people. Do you know, this morning, it feels so good when somebody tells you, I love you, doesn't it? The words sound good, unless it's a false love. And then it's sickening. It's taking. It's demeaning. It begins to ask. It begins to brutalize. It begins to put pressure on. I want to challenge everyone this morning that we don't fall into, and we understand what true love is, that we don't fall into false love. Because false love builds a plateau that's not really there. It's a mirage. And people, many times, everybody else knows it. But people don't find out until it collapses. Because they're wooed by the words. See, love isn't words. Words can communicate love. But words can communicate lust too. Words can communicate evil. As well as good. But you know what this morning? Just want to challenge us. Love is something that sacrifices and gives and waits and is willing to respect boundaries and people. You know, this morning, that's love. Love does that. Lust don't do that. Lust destroys. As soon as there's things aren't going quite right, it's gone. Where'd it go? I thought that was love. No, it was words. It was wrong. It was evil. It was false love. It was like fool's gold. You look at it, it looks like gold. But the person that really knows gold knows it's not gold. This morning, I just want to challenge us to understand there is no abuse in love. Folks, there isn't any abuse in love. Love don't abuse. Love gives. Love helps. Love is tender. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is concerned about the other one. That's what love is this morning. Love is warm. Love makes things right. Love makes relationships good. It makes them healthy. It makes them able to endure to the end. That's what love does. False love don't do that. It collapses as soon as it has all at once. And then it's gone. You know, this morning, we ought to consider God's love. We ought to consider those things. We ought to consider what Satan, that great love he had for Eve when he was telling her, hey, this is good stuff here. This is good. What kind of love was that? Ah, she kind of liked that. She kind of liked that feeling that she got there. Until she lost everything she had. The Garden of Eden. There wasn't anything left. Even one of her sons got killed. That was false. That was false love. It was false promises. It was words of wickedness. It was wrong words. And the Lord wants you and I to know how to discern the difference between true love and false love this morning. And so as we go through these little scriptures and things, let's recognize, doesn't the Lord long for our benefit? Wouldn't he do anything for our benefit? There isn't any more you can do than die for somebody. Then he sent back his Spirit to deal with us and to live in us and to correct us and to lead us and to bless our lives. He came for that, didn't he? He loved us unto the end, didn't he? And what is in our hearts this morning? What are we responding to this morning? What is our comprehension and our understanding of love today? Do we know what love is? We better find out what it is and what it isn't too, and recognize it, because so many people are fooled by false love and they find out all too late. What was that? It felt so, just those words just sent me up in the cloud. Where, that's not love, folks. True love is sacrificial. It's beneficial. It's healthy. It's wonderful. And I want to recommend it to every one of us to open our arms to God and allow Him to put His love within us. You want to have good relationships with other people? Quit worrying about how they're treating you. Completely quit worrying about it. Worry about how you're treating them. Worry about how I can love them. See, that's what love is. That's what God's love is. Worry about how I can cross those bridges. How I can prove to them my love, if possible. How I can give to them. How I can help them. Because they might have a big need. They might have a big mouth. They might be causing a lot of trouble. You want to win them? Kill them with love. It works. I've seen it work over and over. You want to bring the walls down? Show them love. That's one thing they can't deal with very well. They can't deal with very well. The Lord help us this morning. I want us to keep in mind one thing. We don't take this home with us. It is one of the few valuables that you can have, that when you give it away, you have more than you started with. Love is one thing, that when you give it away, you have more than when you started. Now that's a deal there. When we can have more than what we gave away, it's worth giving away, isn't it? This morning, let's let our hearts be filled with God's love. Let's open to Him and ask Him teach me your love. We heard this song this morning. Those words were beautiful. Melody was beautiful too. Do you know this morning the Lord wants to teach us what we didn't know about love? He wants to teach us His ways and show us His paths. Aren't they healthy? Don't they bring life? Don't they bring those good feelings from time to time? You know, do we walk around on a cloud all the time? No, we don't. There's a lot of living, isn't there? But I will tell you what, when we have a heart full of love, every little bit you see it getting, you see that heart beating again, don't you? You see those feelings come. I am persuaded that if we will settle it in our hearts and give the sacrifice, the feelings will follow if we'll do those things this morning. And so when we see that, Lord, teach us your love. Show us, Lord, if you don't show us, what do we have? We only have our thoughts. We only have the things we can think up, and we can see all around us what that does. I was looking at some statistics last night, not for this reason, but I just happened to be looking at crime rates in a certain area, and they also listed there the divorce rates. And the areas I saw were all around 50, 52, 54% of that were married or something like that. I can't remember the exact way it was. I didn't take that much note of it to try to bring it here. But you know, this morning, God's love makes things successful. It's a blessing. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 13. Now, you know, this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, we're all very familiar with it, aren't we? But it starts out by saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love. That's what charity is. It's love. If I could speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I believe that to be the meaning of what he's saying here. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I could have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, Paul says, I'm nothing. I don't have anything if I don't have true love. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Now, Paul's going to tell us a little bit here this morning about what charity is, what real love is in the heart and the life. It says charity suffers long and is kind. What's that mean? What's suffer long mean? It means to put up with something a long time. It means that you suffer something from someone else for a long time and still be kind. That's what charity is this morning. God wants to put that in our heart. He wants to teach us more about these kind of things this morning. Charity suffers long and is kind. You see how that is giving? You see how that is sacrificing its own feelings? So contrary to false love, that is only taking, only wanting, only give me. This is what I want. See, that's false love. When we start encountering that kind of thing, we know right then, folks, it's not love. When people are driving for things that they shouldn't get, it's not love. It's something else. Maybe it's abuse. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's just greed. We don't know. All these things we find in the world all around us. It's full of these things. But it's important for you and me to know what real love is, that we don't be deceived by what goes on all around us. It says, charity envieth not. Do you know that if we have envy in our heart, that's not love? If we see something someone else has and we wish we could have it, now, I don't mean we wish we could have something like it, but we wish we had what they have. That's envy. It's wanting something that we shouldn't have, somebody else's. That's envy. That's not love. And it says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Do you know that if we vaunt ourselves above others, that's not charity? That's selfishness, isn't it? It's not something that is benefiting someone else. It's benefiting us, isn't it? These are things the Lord has to reveal to our hearts, that we walk in His ways. Because when we vaunt ourselves, doesn't that divide us from other people? Doesn't it cause others to, you know, how are we going to show the love of God? Except we become servants. That's the love of God. It's a sacrificial love. And vaunting ourselves is not sacrificial. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly in a way that saints don't live, in a way that's unseemly, in a way that you wouldn't want others to see. Do you know what? That's not love. That's not love this morning. And the Lord wants to fill our hearts with His love. He wants to fill our hearts with a love that is seemly. It's fitting for the occasion. It fits the need. It fits the other person's troubles, even. It fits their shortcomings. That's what this kind of love does. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. Well, what's it seeking then? Doesn't everybody in the world? I've heard it's a dog-eat-dog world. It is. So sad. But it don't have to be that way. I've dealt with people. I will tell you one, Brother Delmer. When I used to deal with him on different things from time to time, do work for him, him work for me, whatever, I never came out feeling like I was jilted in the least. Because you know what? He wasn't just seeking his own. He was seeking your benefit. He always did that. I'm not trying to lift him up. But you know what? This morning, those examples like that should challenge our lives. The Lord wants us this morning to not just seek our own. Do we have to work? Yes, we do. Let's don't just seek our own, but also the other's profit as well. And do you know when we do that, then there's that dynamic that we mention every little while. There's that dynamic that God begins to put in there. And He blesses things in spite of it. And He blesses it. Is not easily provoked. The word easily, I don't think, was ever in the original. That's put in there by the translators. The previous versions, all of them, I believe, didn't even have that word. And so, but there's not that kind of provocation in love, is there? Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Do you know this morning, if you're being tempted by those around you that are committing iniquity and evil and sin, that's not love from them. There's no love in that. That's a false love. But rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, it says. It believeth all things. Now, what's that mean? It stretches to try to give the benefit of the doubt, if possible. That's what that's meaning. Hopeth all things. It hopes when it can't believe anymore, it just hopes. It hopes maybe there's something we don't understand here. Do you know that love does that, doesn't it? And endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Or languages, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But you know what? Charity, it says, never fails this morning. And so we've read here these scriptures. This is a contrast of love. It starts out by telling us some of the things that charity does. It suffers long. That's in great contrast to the provoked, isn't it? That is kind is in great contrast to the rest of those scriptures about vaunting ourselves or about behaving itself unseemly and seeking her own. Look at the contrast there. Get it in our hearts and mind. The contrast between love and between this false thing that people have in their hearts and in their lives. Love is centered around the good of others. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us today. Love doesn't demean. None of those things are of love. And if we experience those kind of things, I want to tell you, somebody is not loving this morning. The Lord loves, and He wants us to love today. And I believe we can love. We can love in spite. Leave it to God to cast judgment. One day He will. But for now, His arms are stretched out. He reaches to people today. I want to look at a few scriptures here. John 13 and 34. I love to read John's writings. John's writings are filled. He had an awesome concept of love, didn't he? John 13 and 34 says, "A new commandment," this is Jesus speaking, "a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Now what's he going to say? "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Folks, there's never a time that we say, "No, I can't love them. They're too unlovable." It just takes more of God in us. We have to go back. We have to be renewed. He made us new to start with, and we have to have that renewing, that constant renewing, that constant blessing from the Lord in the battles of the life that we face today. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." There's my trademark. He says right here, this is going to be, you know, you see cabinets and somebody burned in the drawers there. In each one, it shows who made that, what cabinet shop. Or whoever, you see it on lots of things you buy. Who made this thing? Do you know that Jesus said, "This is the way that people are going to know that you're my disciples, because you love one another." Folks, this is very important to the Lord this morning. And it's something that He has that it takes Him to give, that we might have it. John 15 and 12 to 13, it says here, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this." Here he says it again. He says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That's sacrificial. That's when it wasn't deserved. That's when we were offenders. He said, "You love one another like that." Do you know that this would settle a lot of things and bring the grace of God down into our hearts? But it's sacrificial. We die to ourselves when we do that, don't we? We have to give up our feelings about how we feel about it in order to do that. "That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." 1 John 3 and 23, listen to this. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe." Now this is John way over here, I believe, writing this down toward the end of his life. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." And there he refers back to it again. This is what he gave us a commandment to do, that we love one another. 1 John 4 and 7 to 11. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is," what does it say? Of, where did it come from? Where does love come from? He said, love is of God. He made it. You know what? We don't go outside of God to love. It's of God. He made it. He's the one that knows how we need that. He made it. And he said, I want you to love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is the love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the atonement, or pay the price for our sins. Now that's love, isn't it? That's the kind of love that he wants to put in you and me this morning. And I just want to encourage us to allow God to do that. I was thinking about a few different kinds of love. You know, there's a love to a neighbor. There's a love to the brethren. There's a love to a husband or wife. And a love to God. And I'm not saying that's a complete list, but those are the things that come to my mind. There's different kinds of love, isn't there? And God inspired. He designed them, each one, to give to us, didn't he? And so he wants to give those things to us. I want to say this. False love closely mimics this kind of love. Now I want us to remember this, please. It closely mimics. It looks a lot like it. It says nice things. It makes a person feel real good. And then false love asks. And it begins to be selfish. And it takes valuable things. And so this morning I just want to encourage us. We have a lot of other thoughts on our heart this morning. Maybe I'll stop with that. You know, this morning I'll read one more and then have to quit, kind of in the middle, because we certainly don't have time to finish the next phase of this, which is love to our neighbor. The Lord made that too. But in Luke 10 and 25, it says here, Luke 10 and 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And you know, maybe we can read that little account. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Is that not a lawyer's take on this kind of thing if he doesn't want to do something? Any of us here act like lawyers ever? Any of us here? And who's my neighbor? And do I have to do that? You know, this morning, I know we've said some pretty strong things today. It takes the grace of God to live that way. And we have to see ourselves if we fall short of that and admit it and change it and get grace from God to be like he wants us to be. Folks, that's the love of God in our heart and life. But if we say, and who is my neighbor? Or if we say, but you don't know what they've done to me. You know, I've been told that a number of times to my great dismay. I can hardly believe my ears when I hear it from someone wanting to do right. But I've heard it a number of times. But you don't understand what's happened. And I want to say, you know, maybe I don't. But I know this thing is keeping you from going up the road. I know this thing is hindering your life and your heart. Folks, this morning, we have homes here. We need the love of God to work there first. Because it's never going to work right everywhere else unless it works right there first. That's where we have to stop and say, Lord, I want you to remove from me that, but because of this, I can't. That is simply denying the grace of God that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Lord has an awesome and most marvelous gift He wants to give to you and me. And He wants it to live in our heart. And He wants us to be able to enjoy these kind of benefits. And the benefits are endless. They are many. They are a blessing on every hand. There is no disease. There is no ill feelings. There is no negative side to this, except that we lose maybe our own. We allow that little shell to crumble on our own, and we allow God to start growing up in its place. A branch, a tree, a root, something that begins to bring forth not the one little thing that we had, the one little kernel that we had, the one little acorn that we have in our life, but many on every hand, dropping thousands. I was thinking the other day, I wonder how many acorns a big oak tree drops in its life. Wonder how many is produced. It started with one. I wonder how many is produced. Thousands and thousands. I wouldn't know how many. I would love to get a figure like that. It's probably out there. But you know this morning how God wants to take you and I's life. And He wants us to allow Him to cause this little shell of all the reasons and all the shell that we've got about us and all the but this and that and all of those things. And He wants us to give it to Him and plant it in Him. Say, Lord, here I am. I really want you to live through my life. I really don't want to just be the only acorn in the world, in my little world. I'd like you to use my life. I'd like you to be free to use my life. I'd like you to give me the fruits that true love brings. The joys that it brings into homes. The joys that it brings into our lives are endless on every hand. Instead of ill feelings and hurts and wrongs and getting back and holding bitternesses and hatreds, folks, this is what God has come to bring us. And He has showed us the way. It is through the sacrifice. He laid His life down, didn't He? He's not asking us to do something He didn't do. Y'all pray for me too. Amen.